And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is Match No Match starring Cynthia Hyatt. We've been talking about Be Your Own Best Version. So many different things we've talked about. We've touched on a lot of stuff. And let's start in with the second step is you can affect change in yourself and the world. So tell us a little bit about that particular second step.
Well, I think the most important thing is to understand that instead of being that externally focused person where I am only seeing the world as happening to me, I need to turn that around, reframe that, have a new paradigm that says, wow, maybe I'm happening to the world.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
To consider that wow, maybe I'm happening to the world. The world is also experiencing me. It's not just the other way around that the world is happening to me. So if I am this uniquely created individual person that has meaning and purpose, then how am I affecting the world around me? Because I can affect them, and I can affect it either positively or negatively. So there isn't any other way. I can't not affect the world.
That's
unless
right.
I'm a complete recluse. But if I am a complete recluse, then what I have affected are the people that don't know where I am.
So it's like what Bandler said, is you cannot not communicate.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's important. And so it's really
the same thing as when we talked about you cannot not relate.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's really an inside-outside job is what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
So if people knew that they're like a projector and the world is the screen and your innermost thoughts and feelings, you can actually look at your results and trace it back to you. That's a nice way to create empowerment too.
Absolutely. Well, and or you can even look at it as sometimes I'll tell clients when I'm dealing with families or couples, I will say, you know, if I'm single, then my house, my world, many times is like my own swimming pool. So if I want to do a cannonball in it, who cares, right?
That's right.
But the emotional atmosphere is like water. So you move just by stepping in. You have now shifted the waters. So that's the same way for me. Anywhere I go in the world, I am going to shift things simply by being there. And so if I understand that my effect can either be positive or negative, but it cannot be neutral. So you can't neutrally get into a pool of water.
So what you're saying, and I saw something you wrote, regardless of your position in life, you will affect people, places, and things.
That's right. That's right.
Do people not understand it? I guess a lot of them don't. They think people, places, and things affect them.
Right. But or they think that their position
is
what matters. And that's what we talked about earlier on when we
said,
you know, what if you are the only one person that had one interaction that turned somebody off on a different tangent? And so you didn't have to be a CEO of a company. You didn't have to be a mega movie star to affect very powerful change. So your position as a person in life doesn't necessarily indicate your level of effect. It can.
Yeah.
But see, we get greatly affected by people that are big in the media. But does that effect actually change us? And so I can change one person that maybe nobody even knows I talk to them. And I may have bigger change, bigger effect than all the media personalities that are hitting them every day.
You know, that's a good point. And I like something you said is, what kind of effect are you having on others?
Yes.
And
yes.
What are some of the options with that question? So if I were to ask you or ask anyone, what kind of effect are you having?
Right.
They have a couple choices,
right,
which are what?
They're either positive or negative.
Yeah. And so you already.
But it isn't neutral, because usually neutral is either going to be positive, like I'm not making it hard on that person, or neutral is going to be negative by being apathetic and abandoning.
So that, you know, that's a great way to start exploring this, I think, is that are you uplifting, inspiring, motivating others? Or are you tearing people down?
Right.
It's a choice, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things we were talking earlier, that if you look on my website, this thing we're talking about today is broken up into some YouTube videos. And my website is cynthiahyatt.com, and it is spelled CINTHIAHIETT. So if you just think of it phonetically, Cynthia Hyatt. That's how my name is spelled. And so on the videos, that's what we talk about, is how am I affecting somebody? Am I being the person that when you experience me, you walk away being restored, being revitalized, being encouraged? Am I the person in your life that when you walk away from me, you need to go be with another person to get restored because you're injured, because you're discouraged, because you've been beaten up? And so what kind of person do I want to be? What kind of effect do I want to have on people? And it doesn't mean, again, that I'm going to be Pollyanna to everybody. That isn't necessarily a positive effect. It means the more authentic I am in my uniqueness, the more positive my effect will be, even if it's painful.
And, you know, what this reminds me of is if you want to be inspiring, motivating, happy, peaceful, joyful, if you can't give it if you don't have it.
That's right.
And that's really important. So a negative person needs, if they, you know, they may want positive people, like in the dating situation or relationship, but you better be it first. Be that which you seek.
Right. And understanding that positive does not always mean feeling good. Positive is not always happy.
Right.
Okay? Because otherwise we reduce ourselves to these superficial, shallow people that are happy all the time.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not authentic. Again, we go back to life is hard.
Yeah.
So the more effectual I am in people's lives has to do more with my authenticity and my willingness to deal with reality and not having to be in denial so that I can meet them where they're at. So if they are in pain, I'm not going to be trite and try to talk them out of their pain because their pain makes me feel bad. I'm going to enter into their pain with them. And as I do that, I'm a more authentic, substantive person that causes them maybe to get some relief from their pain because I interacted with them and I connected with them.
So when you help couples then, it's important for both of them not necessarily be at the same level or same situation, but at least a willingness to explore themselves and support their partner.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
How do you do that?
A lot that goes back to, you know, at the core of my being, who am I? And if I know who I am, or if I'm even discovering who I am, because we're all in a state of discovery, you know, we're eternal beings, and so we're never going to arrive. So if I'm discovering me, and I am being my own best version, but at the same time my own life manager, which means I'm parenting myself, and so I'm on top of my own program, then even if I'm mistake-making, it's not going to be nearly as harmful because I'm not doing it to people. It may affect them, but it isn't directed at them. And so when we have couples that are trying to enter into each other's worlds, they need to understand the process that the other is going through. And they have to be in their own process, monitoring their own growth.
Now, what if you have one person in the couple that understands these concepts and the other one just says, no, it's always the other person's fault? What is that an impossible situation? How do you work in that situation?
Well, there's certain there are different types of choices in that situation. And one is this person possibly in a process as well, and that maybe they're resistant? Mm. So the more that I be that person I need to be, maybe in their experience of me, it encourages them to have the courage to be more willing to go through their own process. If not, is this just a person that is resistant, shallow, immature, and they choose to be that way? Well, then if I choose to stay in that relationship, I'm going to have to work really hard on having really good boundaries so they don't affect me negatively. And I'm going to have to also accept the fact that I won't be able to have the level of intimacy that I probably am craving.
And so I guess there's all sorts of answers on that. Some people might be willing to accept that. Some people may not be willing.
That's right.
And then
usually when I talk to people about levels of acceptance, I might say to them something like, today, if you're just discovering this disparity in your positioning in relationship, I would recommend you accept it today and see what occurs. 5 years from now, 2 years from now, acceptance may not be appropriate.
Gotcha.
But today, if you just discovered it, you can't. Yeah. I mean, we have to at least give people an opportunity to grow and change, right?
Yeah, and that's called compassion, I suspect.
And it's also part of being, you know, you being in charge of your own program that says, you know, maybe staying with this person is a part of my process as well.
You know, that's an excellent point, because what growth and what learnings
Absolutely.
Can you have through someone you selected? Maybe you selected mm-hmm. someone at a time when you weren't as aware.
Yes.
Nevertheless, you know, you don't want to give up too quickly.
Right. And right, because you wouldn't want anyone to give up on you.
There you go.
Yes.
Wow, I like
so
this.
So we need to give people
get the couch in here. I want some therapy right now, Kurt. Come on. Where's the couch around here? This is very good. Is that the myth? Are there really couches?
Yes.
Oh, there are. Oh, okay.
I have one in my office.
You do? Bring it in next time. This is
but
really
people
good.
Don't generally lay on it, so I have to make that clear.
Now, did you study anything from Virginia Satir?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of her?
I think she's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Incredible stuff.
Yes.
NLP, did you know part of NLP was mm-hmm. modeled after her?
That's what you told me.
Yeah, pretty interesting. And I've read I think it's called People Making, one of her books. I think it is.
That sounds familiar. Yeah. I've not read that.
Really interesting. Okay. She was, I think, known as like sort of like the, I don't want to call founder, but we'll call it founder of family systems
and
therapy.
So. Yes, yes.
Incredible, her skills and talents, and along with Milton Erickson and Fritz Perls. So really, I think that's challenging, and I think the listeners out there, there's a lot of challenges when you're in a relationship, but I think what you said is like, well, don't give up too soon. That could be part of your process too.
Exactly.
I love that. And what can you learn from that?
And what can you learn from that person? Because maybe part of their resistance to change is fear, and not feeling loved. And the more that I am an authentic, well-grounded person, maybe the more love I have to give, the more that I can handle being around people that aren't necessarily where I need them to be. And in that, maybe they're going to get some of those needs met that empower them to be able to make those changes.
You know, and when we come back from our break, I'm going to ask Cynthia Hyatt a question.
Okay.
It's a surprise
good, I love
question.
It.
I'm going to ask it now just to see what, so you can sort of contemplate that. Is love something that you get from someone, or is it more important that you give it, or maybe it's an equal balance? We'll see what happens, and we'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. And, of course, my question was, and I'm going to rephrase it a little bit, love tank. We're going to call it a love tank. Now, tell us a little bit about that. Is I've always thought that if people need love because they don't have any love in their love tank, let's say, and they're trying to get love from others, that's one thing. Very disempowering, I think. But what if you got your love needs met from a higher source and you were just sort of like pure love, you would select people differently. You would not have that need. You might see things totally differently.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting you phrase it that way in terms of if I were pure love, how might I pick
right
people? Well, if you think about, you know, if we say that the source, the higher source is God, and what God says is he is love. God is love. It isn't just that he's loving. He is the emanation of love. I mean, it emanates from him because he created it. He is it.
Right.
Well, look at who he picks to be in relationship with. Us.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, well, that's a good way to look at it.
So it's like, wow. So if I was pure love, who might I pick to be in relationship with? It would probably change it dramatically. Just like if God is perfect and he's pure love, well, who does he choose to be in relationship with if he doesn't have those types of love needs? And he has the need for love because he wants the relationship in a reciprocal manner. And so, but the healthier I am, the more love I have, the more I am meeting my own needs, you know, that are appropriate for me to meet, then I'm only left with getting my needs met that only other people can meet. See,
yeah,
that's the goal.
Right.
So that if I am meeting all of my needs, then the only ones that I'm left with are the ones I can't meet because they are from other people, because I need love from other people. But if I'm needing love from other people to give me the kind of love that I should be giving within myself, getting from a higher source, and I'm trying to get that from a person, I'm going to really compromise that relationship because they can't be God.
Yeah.
And they can't be my parent that I didn't have. And they can't be me who I should be being to myself. They can only be them.
So you probably hear this a lot, though, with working with couples or non-couples, I mean just single people, is that he or she doesn't love me. He or she never loved me. And what do you say to people like that?
Well, sometimes it may be true.
Yeah.
I mean, that may be the case. They didn't love you. They couldn't love you. They didn't want to love you. And when that's the case, then it's making sure that you're not taking it personally so as to think that it's because you're not lovable.
Well, so the question I would have is do you ever ask them, like, what do they mean by love?
Exactly.
Because sometimes may have a different meaning.
Well, the whole presenting of it of saying, okay, if we get past, well, maybe they didn't love you. Maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they were using you. I don't know. There still begs the question, when you say they didn't love me, well, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, exactly.
What love were you not getting?
Yeah. A behavioral demonstration, or what does specifically that mean to you? And
right,
so what are some of the things you hear?
Well, it'll be things like they didn't provide for me, they weren't affectionate, they didn't talk to me, they weren't nice to me, you know, they didn't have sex with me, you know, all these things that represent love to us. But still, there's that deeper issue of, was I asking them to love me in a way that they could not because I was not willing to love myself the way I should?
Another great title for a book.
That's right. Because that is a very important question. That is like, if I'm not loving myself the way that I should, and then letting my higher power love me the way that only that higher power can, and I'm trying to get this person out here to do those things for me, I'm setting them up for failure. They will fail.
Do they usually understand when you go over it that way? A lot of couples?
Yes. They understand intellectually, but actually believing it so that I learn it and then change my ways, that's a different story. Because people really, that's part of our own selfishness and our own, I want the easy way, is I just want you to fix it. I just want you to love me that way. I don't want to do it with a higher source. I don't want to become more spiritual. I don't want to have that spiritual relationship and that spiritual
too
life.
Too much work,
that I should,
right?
It is. Because I can't see it. I can't feel it, you know, in that way. And so then it's like, I don't want to do it with myself because I don't like myself enough, you know, and I don't want to deal with myself. So I say to clients, you know, if they say, well, I don't like me. I don't want to deal with me. I say, oh, so, but the other person is supposed to. I say, okay. So you don't like you. You don't want to deal with you. You don't want to be with you. But yet this other person is supposed to. So then I say to them, so apparently you are thinking that other person is God because only God does that.
Yeah. Wow, you are good.
Oh.
This is very good. Have you read a book called The Five Languages of Love?
Yes.
You know, I really like that
very
book. It's sort of
book.
What we're talking mm-hmm. about is how people want to be loved. And if your partner doesn't know that and they're giving love based on their style,
that's right.
It may not work for
that's
their
right.
partner's style. So that sort of helps too, doesn't it?
Well, that would be that next level. See, if I'm loving myself the way that I should and I have a spiritual relationship as well, then that love language is about getting the love that I can't give to me, okay? That's different than, I'm not loving myself and I have no spiritual life and I'm wanting you to compensate for all of it. If I'm asking you to compensate for all of it, I probably need all five love languages.
And more.
Yeah.
And exactly. You'll never accept it anyway.
Exactly. And they'll never be enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that would be horrible.
Yes.
I've known people like that.
Well, absolutely. We have a lot of them.
That's tough.
That's our natural state
of
being.
It's insatiable.
Well, it's our natural state of being. That's what little babies are.
More and more.
Little babies are insatiable.
And little babies grow up to be
big
little babies.
Yeah,
big babies that are still babies.
That's right.
That's tough, though, right?
So the five languages of love, that can help us if I am understanding, wow, I still have a self-responsibility and a responsibility to a higher level of relating. I can't, and I say to people, you can believe in whatever God or religion you want. You still are a spiritual being and have to be practicing some level of spirituality or you're not a whole person. So if I'm committed to my spiritual life and I'm committed to my personal intrapersonal life, which is how I deal with me, myself, and I, what's our little relationship doing, then when I'm going outside of myself, getting my love needs met in a way that is relevant to me helps support my relationship with me and my spiritual relationship. So
which
it helps me do those better. Now, if I'm relying only on that person, that's
a
different
story.
It's impossible.
It'll never happen. And and sadly, is that one of the sources of the high divorce rate, do you believe?
I think the biggest source of the divorce rate is our unwillingness to deal with ourselves, our own immaturity, our own need to be immediately gratified, that we are very reactionary people at this point in our culture, that we just go off immediately without even thinking, and we feel like we have the right and are entitled to feel whatever we want to feel, and you just need to deal with it, which is basically, and I hope I'm not offending people, that is developmentally a toddler.
Oh,
it is.
With tantrums.
Yes. Well, you've seen a toddler in a grocery store having a temper tantrum and how uncomfortable it is for everybody. And as soon as the toddler is over their temper tantrum, they're fine. So why isn't everybody else okay?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's basically what we do to each other frequently.
You know, it's sad, but what is there an answer? I guess the answer is what you're talking about. It is really to people should take this seriously, really look at
me.
Well, yeah.
I need to deal with me. And if I deal with me, you won't have to deal with me.
Yeah.
You get to experience me. And so here's an analogy that that I use with clients is when I talk about self-care, because I am not in any way encouraging self-indulgence. That is not self-care. We don't indulge people when we truly care for them. Minor indulgences every now and then, but we don't indulge children, pets. If we do, we don't get good kids or pets, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So when I think about, I'm like a car, okay? So my body, my being is similar to a car and I live in it and I drive it around. Well, if I take care of my car, if I maintain it, I rarely have to think about it. It goes where I need it to go. It's dependable. I can interact with a lot of people, take them places they need to be. If I don't take care of my car, I have to think about it all the time. And a lot of people have to help me because I don't have a car.
And it may break down.
Yeah, and they need to come pick me up and they need to drive me places and I can't get anywhere on time because my car is breaking down. If I indulge myself and am hypervigilant with my car, then that's completely unusable as well because then it's only driven once a month, right? Nobody can eat in it. Nobody can lean on it. Nobody can look at it.
No one can go in it.
Everyone's consumed. Exactly. I'm totally consumed with my car. Well, that's the other end of the spectrum. So when I say to people, self-care is maintenance. It's self-care. It doesn't have to be this indulgent, love relationship with yourself. It's caring for you. When I care for me, I don't have to think about myself hardly at all.
That makes sense. So you won't be self-absorbed.
Exactly. If I don't take care of me, I have to think about me all the time.
And people do.
They do.
And you're sort of like the world is centered around you.
Right. And people get this strange idea that if I care for myself, I'm being selfish. And I say to them, no, if you don't care for yourself, you're being selfish.
You know, that's interesting. It's sort of like the Southwest Airlines situation where, you know what they do? Before they take off, They go, you see these oxygen masks? Put it on you first so you can take care of others. If you put it on someone else, you may not be there to help others.
Exactly.
You've heard
that's
that
exactly
in the
plane? Right.
So it's the same sort of an analogy.
But see, and that, so intellectually it makes a lot of sense to us. But when it comes down to taking care of me, that's tough.
And taking care of you means what?
Discipline.
What is self-care? Discipline.
Well, if you've ever taken care of children, it means you have to say no sometimes.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, and so taking care of me, especially when I'm with myself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I don't always like myself, I don't want to take care of myself because sometimes I'm like, I don't want to deal with me, and sometimes I want to do the easy way, so I don't really want to feed me right. I don't want to put myself to bed when I should. I don't want to discipline myself the way that I should. Maybe I'm mean to myself. I talk bad to myself. I get mad at myself. All those things are about self-care. That it's the hardest person to care for is myself.
The hardest person to care for is yourself. And it may be the easiest, too, once you know how, I suspect.
Well, it could be, but it's a matter of relating with me and knowing me and being willing to do me.
Yeah.
And see, we all want to do somebody else, and then we want them to do us.
That makes sense. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Cynthia Hyatt. Match, no match. And here's another question we're going to ask right after the break. I'll ask it right now, actually. If you have not overcome your past, you cannot become your future. Maybe you can explain that. That will be interesting. We'll be right back.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match, No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. And we were talking about a question, but before I ask that one question that I asked before the break, tantrums. We were talking about tantrums, and off the break we were saying that tantrums can actually come in many disguises, really.
Yes.
And what are some of them?
Well, you know, they don't always have to be overt. I mean, the overt tantrums are easy to recognize.
Very easy.
People just go off. They throw things. Maybe they, you know, blow out your phone with texts or, you know, these kinds of things.
That's right.
You know, but a lot of times other tantrums might be pouting, withdrawing, withholding. And all of us
spending money out of the budget.
Yes, absolutely. Like kind of some passive aggressive things. And all of us are susceptible to those. I mean, as much as I work on my own program, as much as I am really trying to be this healthy adult, right? I absolutely can do that. And if I get my feelings hurt, and anybody, that's the biggest thing. When we get our feelings hurt, that is always going to bring out more childlike responses.
So the question to the listeners is not so much how did your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend your parents, your kids have tantrums. Maybe a good question is, how do you have tantrums?
That's right. Because tantrums are about if somebody says no to me or if I get my feelings hurt. That's generally where tantrums are going to happen.
Interesting.
So you hurt a little child or you say no to a little child. You hurt a domesticated pet, you say no to a domesticated pet, right? These are our more childlike, pure parts of ourselves. And the word no and getting our feelings hurt is always going to reduce us down to the more lowest common denominator of ourself.
That's interesting. That's a great way to start exploring. And that's good growth, I would think,
yes.
once you start to see it.
And when you're in relationship with somebody, especially if you're in a dating situation, a telltale way to find out where they're at and how mature they are or how much on top of themselves they are is how do they deal with the word no? And what do they do when they get their feelings hurt?
Wow, I like it. So are we suggesting, I guess we are. Perhaps just be aware.
Yes,
it's really be aware.
If I say, you know, and this can come into things like with couples when it has to do with sex. If one of the couples says no to sex, how does that person handle it? How do they handle that no? Because generally there's going to be hurt feelings when that happens. And unless they are highly mature, really aware of themselves, you know, really on top of things.
Or tired.
Yes, or tired. But even then, that can be misperceived. You know.
That's right.
Yes, because I know people rise above that even, right?
I bring aspirin wherever I go.
Yes.
But anyway, no, but I think you're right because that could be powerful.
Yeah, so the word no is like, you know, so no, I can't see you tonight. How does that person handle that?
Yeah.
No, you can't spend, you know, $300 on a whatever, you know, handbag. Wait a minute. I want to spend. Let's not say handbags.
Yeah.
Don't say no to handbags.
Yeah. I've heard of that, though. They're called, like, coaches, right?
Oh, coaches are around $300, yes. Some of them are that.
Wow.
Yes.
And then that in itself is not a bad thing. It's
right.
Just, you know,
it's,
you can buy it. We're not right. Suggesting you can't buy it.
Right. But how are we saying no to ourselves? And see, the better I am willing, that's when it goes back to that relationship with myself. If I say no to me on an ongoing basis to the things I need to say no to, when someone else says no to me, I handle it much differently because I get the word no. And the healthier I am, the better I handle the word no. And I say to clients frequently, if you just learn to handle no, you'll be amazed at how well your life goes.
That is awesome. So you're really placing the responsibility on yourself,
right,
on how you handle it, and you're still okay even if there's a no.
Right, right. So there's a difference between being sad or upset or disappointed and, man, shoot, that's, wow, I don't like that. I don't like the word no.
Yeah.
Versus you're not going to pay for that word.
Yeah, that's right.
See, that's a whole different level in relationship. When you've got someone that you say no to them and you're going to pay for that, that's a whole different.
That sounds like revenge and
anger mixed up. That's much like a toddler.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. We're back to the tantrum. I knew that we were.
You know, they go in.
Go
you say no to them, and they go in their room and break all their toys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not good. That happens a lot.
Because that's that raw power. That's what toddlers have is raw emotion, raw power, and then we see it again in adolescence. It surfaces.
Oh man, we'll get this right in the world. I know we will. Now, I did ask the question before the break. If you have not overcome your past, you cannot become your future. So let's talk a little bit about that. That sounds really important to me. It sounds like the past in terms of, is it holding you back? You know, are the obstacles, or are there certain things that you really need to transform and get over? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at it on a more esoteric level and you think of us as eternal beings, which is what we've been talking about, then time is happening simultaneously. So I'm in the present moment right now. We are talking in the present. But yet, I can remind myself and think about the past at the same time I can think about the future. So when we have people that won't be present in the moment, they're either lamenting the past or worrying about the future, then whatever's happening in the present now becomes their future. So because they're not in it.
Right.
So it catches up with them. So if I have a whole bunch of unresolved things in the past, either that are causing me shame, because we know that shame is binding. So if I have unresolved things which I haven't forgiven myself for, I haven't forgiven other people for, I haven't let go of, maybe I have dreams that maybe are not age appropriate and I'm still you know, living in a dream of what I could be, should be, would be, ought to be, and not dealing with who I am in this current state, then what happens is that past is still occurring, even though it's in the past. So let's say I got my feelings hurt by you yesterday and I haven't gotten over it. Well, then here's the present day. I'm now reacting to you in the past because I'm still reacting in my hurt feelings from yesterday, which means that the future that I'm hoping for can't happen yet, even though I'm in today.
Because you're really continually reliving the
yesterday.
Past like a loop.
That's right. And so yesterday keeps occurring in my present, which means that that now becomes my future.
There's some great books on this. One is The Power of Now. Have you read that book?
It sounds great.
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's so powerful. They always, people say the point of power is always in the present moment.
Yes.
And it's so many people worry about the future and they're really anxious or they regret the past or something about that. And that's what you're really saying is that you can't really smell the roses.
Yes, if the past isn't the past, then it's the present and the future.
Yeah.
So I need to let my past be really the past. And if my past is unresolved, then I will keep repeating it to try to resolve it.
You know, Richard Bandler always said, it's not too late to have a happy childhood.
Right.
And it's interesting how he did it from an NLP standpoint, where he's able to bring back in time, called timeline therapy, certain resources that one didn't have when they were five or four or three. And it changed the meaning. And as it changed the meaning, it changed everything about it for empowerment purposes. It's really interesting. So it's not too late to have a happy childhood. And a lot of people shouldn't just rely on, well, I had this bad childhood. And it's sad. However, you don't want that one, you know, that series of events or whatever happened in childhood to relive itself.
Well, that's the same thing that we started out with Viktor Frankl. That's a horrible past.
Horrible.
Horrible. Worse than any of us probably will ever even come close to experiencing one moment of it.
Yeah.
And yet his past did not become his future.
Yeah.
And so as he resolved that and lived it and dealt with the present, he ended up having this beautiful, phenomenally effectual future. And so that past became a part of him and a memory base. But it became something that strengthened him and caused him to be a more substantive person, someone with more depth, more meaning, more purpose. And so the past then ended when it ended. When he walked out of the concentration camp, it was that. It was over. It wasn't continuing to live in bondage the rest of his life with all the memories of it.
And that's the key word, bondage. And so many people, I guess you've seen and people know that they really are in bondage from their past and they'll never... And that's what you're saying. They'll never reach their full potential with that. And
that's right.
And if that's one of our purposes here on Earth, to reach our full potential, sort of sad, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
So the solution is?
You resolve your past.
And get on Cynthia's website because you're talking about
that's
this.
That's right.
Right? You have a series of videos.
Yes, I do. And three YouTube videos that work on the very things that are expressing the very things we're talking about today.
Wow. So it's a great reminder.
Yes.
So they can go on your website, Cynthia Hyatt.
.com. Yes.
And look at the library of videos that you have. And as a reminder, of course, people can also go to breakradioshow.com and hear the show again.
Yes.
In its entirety because we have an archive show. That's always good, too.
That's wonderful.
And in fact, it's even better. Combine both. Go to the YouTube.
Yes. Yes, because we're elaborating it on very differently than I do on the YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, this is excellent. So now another thing that I wanted to talk about is if you don't like what you're getting, stop doing what you're doing. Now, NLP has talked about that. Tony Robbins, I think it might have actually come from that incredibly smart guy, Albert Einstein, is if what you're doing is not working, do something else.
Anything.
Yeah, exactly. Why do people constantly do the stuff that they know won't work, or do they really not know it doesn't work?
I think they are probably enough in the moment that they are not thinking that it really doesn't work. They're really thinking like men do often, right?
Oh, let's hear about
this. Gender.
What does men do often?
Men do often. They think if
another title for a book.
They think if what they're doing isn't working, they'll just do it harder.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
like
really
beating their head against the wall and say, I'm going to get through this wall.
Right.
And all they have is a big headache.
Right. And so if I say to them, you know, when you respond to your wife in that way, it doesn't work. They hear me sort of. but they just think they're going to do it harder. They're going to convince her that loving the way he is loving her is really going to work.
What are they thinking?
They're just they're,
that is nuts, right?
But no, actually, you know, if you understand that some of the hardwiring of with the way a man's brain works, that's one of the things that makes him a good warrior, a good hunter,
a good protector,
is to not be dissuaded or discouraged or not get into huge group problem solving, which women do. See, we include everybody in our, we're like, really? You think I'd be better? Could I do it like this? And we do this combination.
Nice creativity.
Yes,
I like
of
that.
Stuff. Where men, you know, if they're in a battle situation, they don't want to stop and have a group consensus about how to do something.
They want to react and
they
move.
Need to do what their plan is, and they need to be confident and believe in their plan enough that if people are coming at them saying no, they are going to hold the course.
I just saw a movie that really showed that as an example called Battle in L.A. or something like that. It was actually a pretty good movie, but it did demonstrate how a commander in like the Army, Marines, had to make these quick decisions.
And he had to be committed to his decisions.
And that was the, wow, you're good, because that's what I took out of this. The commitment level was off the chart.
Yes.
You have to admire someone like
and
that.
See, but that's how men are hardwired. And so it's getting them to, see, so when they get invested in something, and when something becomes valuable to them, it kicks that into overdrive. So you have to get them not into survival mode, but to relax a little, to say, you know, look, we got some options. We don't have to do anything right now today. This isn't immediate. There's nothing dangerous happening, because they get very, very committed to their plan and their goal.
So what you're talking about is something that I learned in NLP, is what I think you're talking about is behavioral flexibility, perhaps of men, well, women too. But in this context, men need to have some behavioral flexibility to do something different in this context.
Yes.
Context
Well, see, the other element to this, and this is really imperative, that helps women, is when I say to them, you have to understand that a man's hardwiring is to believe in himself. When I start introducing to him that he might not be doing it right, he might have a blind spot, very, very destabilizing. Because men can have blind spots. They have to be on top of everything all the time. And so when I say to them, you know, you didn't see this part, or you didn't look at this, or you're not getting this, that's a whole different thing than when I say that to women. Because for a man, they are very committed to believing in themselves and to understanding that their idea is the only thing that they can depend on. And when we get them to change that and have that behavioral flexibility, they now have to understand that they might not have all the answers. Now, intellectually, when I got them in a good place and they're in a good mood, they go, of course I don't have all the answers. Okay? But when it's something that's important and valuable to them and it depends on their identity, that's a very different concept for them to go, you know what, I need some help. Very different.
Very different. And when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion with Cynthia Hyatt, Match No Match, on being your own best version. I like what you said about identity level. We're going to talk maybe about logical levels. I'm going to ask you about that when we come back from our break.
Weidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is Match No Match starring Cynthia Hyatt. Definitely get on Cynthia's website, CynthiaHyatt.com. That's CynthiaHyatt.com. And how do we spell it again, Cynthia?
CINTHIAHIETT.
Just like it sounds.
And yes.
And there's some nice videos there.
Thank you.
People can listen to. And certainly go back to our Breakthrough Thinking website and click on Show Archive, Match No Match, and there's Cynthia Hyatt again.
Yes.
Wow, you're everywhere. This is great. And that's, of course, Breakthrough, what is it? Oh, BreakRadioShow.com. I almost forgot my own website.
Because you're thinking Breakthrough Thinking.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. BreakRadioShow.com and some good archive shows. Now, logical levels. I like what prompted me to think of this is when you said men that, you know, at an identity level. And that's deeply powerful psychologically. Robert Diltz, who was first generation NLP, came up with this thing, logical levels, in how the deeper, more powerful psychological aspects of people, identity, and in order to least powerful impact on people, identity was very powerful.
He said,
then beliefs are second, and then skill level or capabilities, behaviors, and environment. Mm-hmm. And it sort of made sense to me because from a dating concept or relationship, if people only get disenchanted with their spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend, and they just change at the environment level, they end up with the same person in a different house.
That's right.
So I like what you said. Mm-hmm. Identity level is powerful. So do you work then with people
Absolutely.
On their identity?
That's a huge part of my practice because that's what this whole thing is about today, is who are you? If I understand who I am, if I get my identity, then my relationships then automatically become better, even if the other people aren't that healthy, because I'm introducing health into that mix. So I automatically take it up a notch. Now, I can't compensate for them so much. I can't make the relationship be maybe at the level of health I would like it to be because I can only control my part. But I'm automatically adding more health to the mix. And so on a dating level, on a marriage level, child-parent level, employee-employer level, if I am being that authentic person understanding my core identity issues, then my relating style will be much less complicated.
You know, that's excellent how you said that, and you're right. I mean, behaviors really follow your identity.
Yes.
So if you want to change your behaviors, it's not just behavior modification. Change beliefs and identity, and it's much easier.
And what do my behaviors say about who I am?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we know that behaviors aren't us, but they are a direct expression of who I am or who I think I am.
So how do you handle that where people, they understand that logically and they go, oh, I got to change my behavior. I better be kinder. I better behave kinder. But if they don't change their identity, that they're a kind, peaceful being, person?
Well, and see, that is the key issue that we've been talking about, is that internal world and how I interact with me. If I want to be a kind, gentler person, how am I to me? Because everywhere I go, there I am. So
that's right.
If I am not kind to me, then I am not authentically kind to others. I can be periodically kind, and I can choose to be kind, but once you start to really get to know me, I'm going to start treating you the way I treat me.
You know, that's powerful.
It's very powerful.
And that's what happens, unfortunately, in like the dating scene, is that people will date, and maybe both parties are on their best behaviors.
Because they want to be that person.
Yeah.
Which is a neat person, but why can't you sustain it?
Yeah.
And that's the key.
And that's the problem sometimes.
That's why we want people to give themselves time when they're dating, because time always tells.
Yeah. You know, I always thought that also, and I still do, is time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said something, let's see what you think of this, is if people had perfect discernment, and I guess what I'm saying is perfect discernment, meaning they're at such a high level of awareness about themselves and others, that maybe time wouldn't matter.
Right.
But so at first I thought,
Except.
Yeah.
What if that person is in a process? So maybe at that point of where you meet them, I do have perfect discernment. Let's say I do, I don't. But then, you know, time wouldn't matter. But time does matter because maybe that person's not going to stay at that level. So I want to give them time.
So in the process.
Yes.
Or the other person or yourself?
The other person. So
oh, okay,
I want to give
you.
That person time. So even if they're not where they should be.
You still need to give time.
Yes.
You know, I think that's awesome. But people just jump into relationships.
Right.
Why is that? I always had a theory that they're so starving for love, they want to have a relationship versus just the concept of a relationship. In other words, they're in love with the idea of being in love.
Well, they want to feel good.
Yeah.
And that's part of our cultural problem right now, is that we have bought into the way time is with technology, which is instant.
Yeah, instant
gratification.
And we have
lost sight of what time is. Like, I will have couples many times, I will say to them, you know, you've lost the art of kissing, which means that your intimacy is highly diminished. Mm-hmm. And so I reintroduce kissing, because we know that true connectedness and intimacy with couples has a lot to do with kissing. If they still kiss, they are still very in love. They are still connected. Because you can have sex with people without kissing.
That's right.
But kissing is very intimate and very nurturing, very comforting, very much about affection. I don't kiss people passionately I'm not feeling that with.
That's a good point. So when you see that happening.
So I say to them,
yeah,
you know, I want you to greet each other. And end, you know, say goodbye, and your kisses now need to last 10 seconds.
Oh, really?
10 seconds feels like an eternity when they are first trying it. I'm like, 10 seconds? You could hold your breath for 10 seconds and wouldn't even know the difference.
Well, remember,
we're not doing 4 minutes.
How about you bring them back when they used to date? Oh. Didn't they kiss like for 24 hours?
Well, they
hours?
Would kiss, exactly. They'd be kissing for 30 minutes straight.
Well, longer.
Exactly.
I hold
know,
the record.
I know, exactly.
Oh, really? 27
exactly.
hours.
Exactly.
Really? I needed oxygen afterwards.
Exactly. And so what happens is we have this weird concept of time now.
Yeah.
That what used to be a minute
yeah.
was so short. Now a minute is forever. I have to wait at the light. This is a 2.5 minute light.
Yeah, I know. Isn't
I know.
That funny?
I know. It's amazing. And I've done stuff with clients where I said, we're going to time everything this week. So like I time how long it takes to make my bed. I time how long it takes to do the dishes, right? And it's like when they find out, I'm like, that's not very much time, because they'll say, well, I don't have time. I don't have time to do
yeah.
that. I'm like, I've timed that one. That takes 47 seconds. And they're like, really? And I go, yes. And so then I will have them do things like, I'll say, we're going to sit here for 1 minute and not talk. I'm going to say, and that's 1 minute. And it gives you
and
a whole
like,
different
it's
perspective.
Eternity
it
to
is.
Most people.
It gives a whole different perspective on time. So what happens with relationships is we think time is very different. We think if we have this intense moment, that intense moment entails 4 months of relating.
That's right.
And it's like, no, it's 3 hours of intensity. That's all it is. And intensity does not always equal intimacy.
You know, it's interesting. In my coaching classes with NLP, the same concept, we must think alike. I call it emotional time versus actual time.
Yes, that's good.
And it's the same thing you're talking about. It's like, really, how much does it really take? And it's sometimes it really impacts them and say, well, yeah, it seems overwhelming. It seems like it's forever and I can't do anything. But if it only takes, 30 seconds,
yes.
what's the big deal there?
Exactly, exactly.
It's amazing
like
how
long
people
does it take to take the trash out?
Yeah.
2 minutes?
Yeah, but they attach certain ramifications, meanings, or something to it.
Well, it's a chore they don't want to do, so therefore it takes more time.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think about it, and you really learn how to is really get the obstacles or resistance, whatever meanings you attach to that event, and as neutral or something, or even, empowering, wow, people can get really a lot done.
Well, and it's like, even if you're looking at marriage or relationships, I when we're talking about time, like how long does it take to do the laundry? How long does it take to fold a whole entire load of laundry? How long does it take to have sex? And they have these very different ideas.
Well, I like this. What
about
are some
how
of the
long
answers
it takes.
On that?
Oh, some people will see, for people that are struggling, like maybe we'll say women that are struggling with sex, they're not wanting. I always say to them, this isn't going to be 3 hours. Okay? We're not asking for 3 hours.
But it seems like 3 hours,
yeah,
right?
But they think, well, I don't have time. I got to do the laundry. I'm like, how long does the laundry take? Right?
Wow.
So you got chores to do? Well, how long do those take?
So what do they
say
then?
Well, you can have sex in 20 minutes. And that can seem like an eternity to people that have had it. Because you know that when you enter into a sexual, activity, time stops. And so, 20 minutes can seem like 3 hours. 3 hours can seem like 10 minutes.
So did they get the point?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. And that helps, just that.
Mm-hmm. It does, because I say, let's make this manageable.
Hmm.
And what do you think is being required of you when your husband wants to have sex with you? What
are
you
do they
attaching?
Say usually?
A lot of times they can't explain it because it's a more an emotional expectation of, I just can't go there. And a lot of that, then I say to men, so your intimacy is suffering. She doesn't feel connected to you. So she's feeling like there's a lot of work that has to go into getting her ready to do that.
And so there's some block.
Yeah, and the block is intimacy. I'm not feeling connected to you. So how do I get connected to you in 3 minutes in order to function sexually?
Well, I think this should be a topic in the future show.
Yes.
This is probably a big topic that
yes,
has a lot of ramifications.
Very helpful for people, yes.
Kurt, what do you think? All right, he's thinking thumbs up on
please,
this one.
Please, please have that topic.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, he's really interested on this one. Anyway, can you believe it's the end of the show
That's
already?
Amazing. That's amazing.
2 hours of incredible insights.
Yes.
And you are amazing. Let's give out your website again, Cynthia Hiatt.
Yes,
.com. How do you spell it again?
CINTHIAHIETT. So all the ways you wouldn't think to spell it.
That is great, CynthiaHiatt.com, and definitely look at your website.
Yes,
because
that would be great.
The videos are excellent. The website is beautiful, actually. You can also go to BreakRadioShow.com and hear this show again, because you might want to dissect it. They might want to take the first section, really mm-hmm. learn from it. I think it's a good learning tool,
yes.
actually. Show
yes.
archives on BreakRadioShow.com. And Cynthia, it's always a pleasure.
Thank
I got to tell you, you are the most insightful therapist I have ever
met. I really appreciate
met.
That.
And
Thank
you're just
you.
A delight, too. So again, CynthiaHiatt.com. Get over there, CynthiaHiatt.com, or BreakRadioShow.com. And of course, we'll be on tomorrow with Click and Brick Confidential, Scott Sakoff, all the way from San Diego in studio. And that's all about mobile marketing. And the real estate panel, we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.